It is our great joy and delight again to come to you. And as most of you know, we are studying the Gospel through John. I have been greatly thrilled as I've turned to the study of these Gospels. We had Matthew, we had Luke, now we're in John. To see the difference in these three Gospels and of the marvelous revelation of God to us in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As John 1:14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth." And my, how that's true. Now in chapter 5 through 8, we're dealing with the great claims of our Savior, not only to the Jews of His day, but for us now. And we've had, after the healing of the man 38 years infirmed, our Lord declaring His equality with God in nature, "I and my Father are one. And as long as my Father works, I work. As long as there are people needing a Savior, my Father will work. As long as people are in bondage to sin and to death and to hell, the Father must work, and I must work." This made the Jews very, very angry. They wanted to kill Him. Then He claimed equality with God in power. He has indeed the power to raise people from the dead and make them alive. And the third thing was, in which we're dealing, He claimed equality with God in authority. And we're taking verse 24 as the basis for this statement and on the verses between 22 to 30. This is what we're dealing with. You don't mind me repeating this fact that our Lord claimed equality with God in authority. All life is in His hands. All judgment is in His hands. All resurrection is in His hands. I tell you, we have a real Savior. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life." Now, in our last lesson, we were dealing with the fact that He claims all authority, that all life is in His hands. Now, He's talking here about those who will receive Him. There are three things in the verse which God will do to anyone who will accept Him as Savior. First of all life is in His hands. The Father hath given to the Son to have life in Himself, so He can give eternal life to as many who will receive Him. And He claims to be the source of life, eternal life. And by the way, the only kind of life God deals with is eternal life. Now, all man can do is to deal with natural life, physical life, human life. I received human life, physical life from my parents. They died. If the Lord tarries, I will die too. And if I want to be eternal, then I must be joined to someone who is eternal. And Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, with arms outstretched, wants to take any sinner, I don't care who they are, if they will come and accept Him, He guarantees them eternal life. Indeed, He becomes their life. But now the second thing He says here, all judgment is in His hands. And if I say to any sinner, "Sir, if you will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I will guarantee that you will never come into judgment." Now let's stay to the chapter. Verse 22. Jesus says, "The Father judgeth no man, but He hath committed all judgment unto the Son." In verse 27, "And the Father hath given Jesus authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man." In verse 30, "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me." Will you please notice, in verse 16 of this chapter, the Jews sat in judgment on Jesus. But now He declares that all judgment is in His hands. The whole administration of divine government is in the hands of the Lord, because He's the Son of Man. He knows what life is. He was tested in all points as we are, without sin. He knows the full score. My friend, don't you mistake this. He knows the whole score. He lived among men. He took His place in the human family. And he always, as verse 30 says, I seek not mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. The great desire and passion of his life was to do the will of his Father. And because of this, the Father has put all judgment, or putting it in a different way, the Father can trust Jesus Christ to judge righteously. The Father has perfect, absolute confidence in Jesus Christ, even to be the judge of men and women, because he is the Son of Man, and because he was always faithful in obedience to his Father. You know, sometimes I have people coming and say to me, Mr. Mitchell, I don't want your God. Your God isn't love. If he was love, he wouldn't allow all the sin and the suffering and the death and the sorrow and the afflictions of this world. If he was on the throne, if he was sovereign, and he was love, full of grace and truth, he would not permit. He wouldn't allow all the suffering. Just a minute. Are you sitting in judgment on God? Are you trying to tell me that you're more righteous, more loving, more gracious than God? That's what you're doing. That's just what you're doing. When you begin to criticize God, my friend, you're sitting in judgment on God. Instead of God being the judge, you're the judge. And you would have the audacity to judge God. Are you more righteous than God? Are you more loving than God? I don't point to what the afflictions of mankind, man has brought this upon himself. Who do you think starts war? God? No. Man. In his selfishness, in his egotism, with a materialistic philosophy and a humanistic philosophy, man down through the centuries is never satisfied with what God gave him. When you come to the book of Acts, chapter 17, when Paul rebuked the philosophical Athenians, you remember in Athens, he told them that God gave to all men life and breath and all things that they might feel after God and find him. In him we live and move in our being. God put men in the best place. He put them in the bounds. He set the bounds of their habitations. What for? That they might seek God. But man wasn't satisfied with the habitation God gave him. So they began fighting among each other, fighting among themselves. It's true individually. It's true in the neighborhood. It's true nationally. It's true internationally. I don't care where it is. This is man. That's why God demands a new birth. But God says that he's going to be the judge. He is the one. And Jesus Christ here says, if you will accept me, put your trust in me, I'll guarantee you'll never come into judgment. Do you mean to tell me, sir, that if I accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I'll never, never come into judgment? That's right. That's right. What about my sins? Christ died to put away your sins. But when I stand before God, won't somebody accuse me before God? No. Romans chapter 8 says, who is he that condemneth when Christ has justified us? If Christ has forgiven you every sin, and if Christ has pronounced you righteous, friend, tell me, who dares stand in the presence of God and accuse you? God never sees the believer any other place but in Christ. And if you're joined to Christ, who is the judge, do you expect to come into judgment? That's why Paul says in Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Hebrews chapter 8 and 10 declare, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more forever. No, friend, let me be very blunt about it. There is no created intelligence in the universe that can accuse you before God with respect to sin, if you have accepted the Savior. That's why we have peace. Listen. We wouldn't have peace with God. We wouldn't enjoy the experience of peace. We wouldn't have assurance if this thing were not true. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the guarantee to you that you'll never again see your sins. He bore your sins on the cross. He died for every sin you committed. He put them all away. God is satisfied, perfectly satisfied with the work of his Son. Will you be satisfied? That's all he's asking. Will you be satisfied? You will not come into judgment. Now, having said that, I must also say this. In Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31. Have you got that passage? Acts chapter 17. I've been talking about these philosophical Athenians. Same passage. Paul is saying to these Athenians, God commands all men everywhere to repent. Why? Why? Because he has set apart a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard that, they mocked and scoffed, and some said, we'll hear thee again. Certain ones clave unto Paul. They ridiculed Paul when he talked about the resurrection from the dead. Ah, why do people want Christ to stay in the tomb? Why deny the resurrection? Because they know very well right down in their hearts. There's a day coming when they must stand in the presence of God. The creature must stand in the presence of his Creator. Man must stand in the presence of a holy, righteous God. And the guarantee of that, my friend, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And don't you be fooled in this matter. God's personal proof to Christians that they are really saved and never again see their sins is that God raised his Son from the dead. But also the resurrection of Christ is God's personal proof to the unsaved of sure judgment. And Christ is to be the judge. The very one they spurned is going to be their judge. You remember in the book of Revelation, when it speaks of them being judged, they're judged in the presence of the Lamb of God. They're judged in the presence of the Lamb of God. Why didn't they say they're judged in the presence of the omnipotent God, the all-seeing God, the all-knowing God? No, no. They're judged in the presence of the Lamb who died to redeem them. And having spurned the redemption, having spurned the Savior, what is there left? But judgment. That's why Jesus said, if you believe on him that sent me, you have everlasting life, and you shall not come into judgment. Judgment is past for the believer, and the resurrection is the guarantee of it. So our Lord says, not only is law or life in my hand, but all judgment is in my hand. Now look at the third one. He's saying all resurrection is in my hand. It's passed from death to life. Go down to verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all who are in the graves shall hear his voice, the voice of Jesus, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment. All resurrection is in his hands. Don't you marvel at this? Notice how the Lord piles up his claims. As if he was saying, you haven't heard anything yet. I'm equal with God in nature and power. But also all resurrection is in my hands. If anybody's going to be raised from the dead, I'm going to do the raising. See. Now you notice in verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. He's not dealing in that verse with physical resurrection. He's dealing in that verse with people who are dead in sins now can have life in Christ. Everybody out of Christ is dead in sins. Ephesians chapter 2, the first verse says, you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. See, death is separation. You separate a soul, a personality from the body, and we say the body's dead. You separate a person from God, and that person is dead. That is, they're separated from the one who is the source of all life. Hence, death. Jesus could say in John 8:24, if a man does not keep my saying, if a man doesn't believe who I am, he will die in his sins. If a person dies in his sins, what's next? Judgment. Then resurrection. Oh, listen, friend. I know many say to me, Mr. Mitchell, when I'm dead, I'm dead. Huh. Oh, you're just trying to keep your courage up, that's all. Right down in your very being, you know that there's to be a resurrection. You know right down well you must stand before God. And Jesus Christ, God's Son, is the one who's going to raise you from the dead. Whether you believe it or not, you're going to be raised from the dead, either unto life or unto judgment. Listen, the hour is coming when in all who are in their graves shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Did you ever notice that our Savior never varied his method of resurrection? He always raised them at his voice. We have a record of three people who were raised from the dead. There was the daughter of Jairus, a girl 12 years of age, was raised from the dead in chapter 8 of Luke, for example. And then there was the widow's son. And Luke is the only one who talks about that one, Luke chapter 7. And then in John chapter 11, you have the resurrection of Lazarus. Wherever they were, they heard the voice of Jesus and obeyed. Whatever the little girl was, she heard Jesus' voice, arise, and she arose. Whatever the widow's son was, he heard the voice of Jesus, and he came forth in resurrection. And wherever Lazarus was, even when the body was in corruption, he heard the voice of Jesus and came forth. There's a day going to come when the Lord's going to speak again. And I'll tell you, when he speaks the next time, believers are going to be raised from the dead. Every believer, wherever they are going to be raised from the dead. Jesus said in John 14:19, because I live, you shall live also. Because I live, you shall live also. I am the resurrection and the life. I think it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to know that when physical death comes in, that doesn't end everything. When a believer dies today, he goes right into the very presence of the Lord. And then when the Lord comes for his own, the dead in Christ are going to be raised. I'm quoting from Thessalonians chapter 4. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with a trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, from 51 on, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. This mortal shall put on immortality. This corruptible shall put on incorruption. He's talking about the resurrection of the body. It's going to come by the voice of the Son of God. This is not a call, by the way, or invitation, but he's declaring a fact. There's going to be a summons. And the first summons, all believers will be caught up to meet the Lord and to be with the Lord forever. And in Revelation chapter 20 says, after 1,000 years after the first resurrection would become the second resurrection, and the raised to stand before God in judgment. And as I read that passage, Your eternal destiny depends upon whether your name is in the book of life or not. And everyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, eternal separation from God. Oh, listen, friend. I don't know how much time God has given to us to pronounce the gospel, proclaim the gospel. But I tell you today, when I think of these things, I tremble that so many people going on indifferent to the claims of Christ. And it just seems as if they don't care whether Christ is going to come or not. They don't care whether Christ died or not. All they're concerned is about what's going to happen to me in the next 24 hours. And you plan for your vacations. You plan for everything else. You plan for your business. You plan for your families. You plan for your vacation. And you make no plans for eternity. Now I tell you, my friend, the time is very, very short. time is very, very short. There's no question in my mind that we're living in the last days of this age. And the Lord Jesus is going to come. He's going to take his own people to be with himself. Will you be there? Will you be there, or will you be left to face the judgment of God? Let me give you the verse again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I plead with your heart today to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior while it is still called today, for now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Take that 24th verse, make it your own, and put your trust in the Savior.